Hi, I'm Boris, and this is Critical Take. I want quiet on the set, you are not in no photograph now. Today I want to talk about a couple animated movies I saw recently and how they relate in a kind of strange way to Your Name, which you talked about last time. The two movies are My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea, directed by Dash Shaw, and Nova Seed, directed by Nick DiLiberto. As I talked about last time, Makoto Shinkai, the director of Your Name, got his break by animating a movie entirely by himself at home. He designed all the characters, he drew all the backgrounds, he drew all the individual frames, he strung them all together into animation. I mean, he did all of the work for this movie. And what My Entire High School Sinking to the Sea and Nova Seed have in common with that is that they were basically drawn entirely by one person. Nova Seed was literally drawn frame by frame, entirely hand animated in 2D by one man, Nick DiLiberto, who then had other people help produce it afterwards. And My Entire High School Sinking to the Sea was primarily drawn by Dash Shaw, the director, who is a well-known comic book artist. Although in this case, there was at least one other person involved, namely his wife, Jane Samborski, who helped him animate it. She's a well-known animator in her own right. But all three of these people, Dash Shaw, Nick DiLiberto, and Makoto Shinkai, primarily set out to make a movie more or less by themselves, or based entirely on their own art, which is completely unlike how studio animated films are made, of course, where there might be a director with a creative vision, or, you know, like in the case of Hayao Miyazaki, where you're obviously seeing his art style on the screen. There's a whole lot of people doing design, doing, you know, the details of animation, making, you know, costumes, backgrounds, all sorts of things like that, where it's not just coming straight out of Miyazaki's head. There's a lot of people involved. The three directors for these movies, though, went an entirely different route in order to put themselves out there. They animated everything themselves. They designed everything themselves. Literally, everything you see on screen is their work. Again, with Dash Shaw being a bit of an exception, he had some help with some of the coloring and some of the background art, but it was almost entirely done by him. Now, the movie I talked about last time, directed by Makoto Shinkai, Your Name, is a studio movie. There were a lot of people involved in its production. There's a huge credits roll. It's not just Makoto Shinkai's work we see on the screen. His very first movie, however, Voices of a Distant Star, was entirely made by him. Around the year 2000, Makoto Shinkai was working at a video game company, and he noticed that a lot of the tools that would theoretically be necessary to make a movie by himself were available now, things like Photoshop and After Effects. He decided, after the encouragement of some friends, that he would try to make a movie like this, and he spent about 7 months drawing and animating it. Now, Voices of a Distant Star has relatively limited animation. The art is very lush and gorgeous, and there's quite a bit of 3D animation, which takes much less time than traditional hand-drawn 2D. But the 2D animation looks quite good. There's a lot of attention to detail, but there isn't a lot of it, basically. And this is also sort of true of My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea. The animation is very limited. It is all hand-drawn 2D, and unlike Voices of a Distant Star, which looks like it could just be commercially produced anime, My Entire High School Into the Sea very much has a rough, handmade, homemade look. It's very evocative of Dash Shaw's comic book style, and in fact was produced with sort of the idea of having it be a comic book movie. In part, it's sort of reminiscent of the squiggle vision of Dr. Katz or home movies,
and is much more impressionistic than realistic in style, which Voices of Distant Star is, realistic, that is, as far as anime is realistic with giant robots and space battles and the like. Both Voices of a Distant Star and My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea use their, you know, their budget of energy, of time, and of money to tell a story with, you know, the least animation they could sort of get away with, which in theory is a good practice. You only want to have what you need on the screen to tell your story or to evoke, you know, the emotions you want the audience to have. In animation, there's a sort of balance between how much work it takes to put an idea on the screen and the fact that you have total control over what ends up on the screen. So it's basically any failure to get the intended images and sensations across to the audience is entirely, like, falls entirely on the animator. There aren't really happy accidents in animation in the same way there might be in film, where an actor might give you, you know, a transcendent performance, or a selection of a costume or a prop might end up working far better than you expected. So there's this motivation in animated film to be as efficient as possible with the images you put on screen. And Voices of a Distant Star does that by limiting its 2D animation and preferencing a lot of 3D animation of the giant robots and alien combat scenes, as well as what I talked about last time, which is Makoto Shinkai's sort of popularization of scenery porn, where it takes perhaps a long time to draw a super detailed, super beautiful background, but once you've drawn it, you can spend, you know, a minute of just that on screen, basically. You can put some action over this gorgeous background, but the action doesn't have to be that detailed, because the background is going to provide the sort of emotional content of a scene that you wouldn't get if the background was, you know, effectively blank or just a kind of abstract sketch like you get in a lot of Western animation, where it's just, you know, a hallway, a living room, that sort of thing, a row of houses. Here it's highly detailed nature scenes or city scenes, that sort of thing, that let you get away with a lot of more limited animation in the foreground because the background is doing so much of the work. There's a sort of similar sense with My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea, where Dashaw's comic book style and the style adopted in this movie involve a lot of very dark lines in the foreground animation. The characters are drawn with very thick strokes and they have very limited movements, because this is a comic book artist coming to animation and trying to relay his own comic book style. So what we end up with is a lot of very sort of blocky character art with very kind of uneven, out of proportion sort of drawings, but still immediately recognizable as the individual characters they are. And these sort of very loose and thick line drawings sit on top of huge swathes of color, of clearly painted on color. It looks like acrylic most of the time. Occasionally it's watercolor, so much more of a kind of color wash rather than solid globs of color. But these dark black lines sort of loosely overlap with an impression of the background color of a scene. Now, in some scenes in My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea, it's clear that the characters are being colored in, so you're meant to clearly recognize the individual characters as objects in a space. There's a scene where there's a bunch of people in a lunchroom, and the camera kind of fake sort of pans around the main character as he gives this little speech that can be seen in the trailer for the movie. That scene is an important narrative moment where you're actually finding out about the relationships between a lot of these characters and what their plans are for escaping this high school that's literally sinking into the ocean. Whereas in other scenes where there's much more emotional content to the scene, like moments of turmoil where they're running away from a fire or they're being attacked by sharks, which happens. The colors become much looser. They start flowing outside the lines of the characters' models. The backgrounds become much more abstract. Instead of an actual classroom setting, you just have giant blurs of color in the background, either static or moving, or with the characters moving across a fixed background. So where Makoto Shinkai's movies use very concrete background imagery, often of nature or of cityscapes, or a sky or of space in the case of Voices of a Distant Star, My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea uses much, much more abstract imagery, much more, well, I use this term a lot, but impressionistic, in this case literally, abstract in the like abstractionist sense, imagery to evoke emotion. So, you know, if somebody's angry, there's gonna be a lot of red and black on the screen. If there's turmoil, you know, there'll be orange and yellow flashing, you know, lights going crazy. If I'm not mistaken, I think the movie actually has a seizure warning in the opening credits because there is so much imagery of lights flashing back and forth and, you know, alternating black and white imagery and stuff. Both Voices of a Distant Star and My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea have really strong and clear distinctions between background and foreground. Voices of a Distant Star comes from a tradition of anime, which has very detailed backgrounds, often based on location research, often set in real places in Japan. Anime shows are almost always set in a real city somewhere in Japan. It's very rare, unless they're like a high fantasy or superhero action sort of series. They're almost always set in Osaka, in Tokyo, in Kyoto. They have their very real sense of place, unlike almost all American shows, cartoon shows, which are just set in, you know, some town somewhere. Maybe they don't even talk about where the show is set. And My Entire High School Sinking to the Sea is the same way. It has, it's set in a high school in California on a fault line by the ocean. And what this means for both movies is that the place is very distinct from the characters. The characters sort of happen to be inhabiting this space. Obviously, the space is completely chosen by the animators, by the creators of the show, or movies in this case. But this contrasts strongly with Nick DeLiberto's Nova Seed, which was drawn entirely by him, 4 years of hand drawing tens of thousands of frames of animation, entirely in pencil and ink, and then I assume colored digitally, because I don't think anybody has the time and money to color every frame by hand nowadays. But unlike Voices of Distant Star and My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea, Nova Seed's backgrounds are stylistically indistinguishable from the foreground characters in animation. Oftentimes there'll be things in the background that you don't expect to move, but they suddenly do, because they're all just drawn in the exact same style as the foreground characters. Nick DeLiberto has a very interesting animation style, which contrasts with the traditional style of anime and of the sort of lo-fi comic book style of My Entire High School Sinking to the Sea, where his camera is much more dynamic. Now, if you think about it, in animation, you're pointing a camera, either a virtual digital camera or a real physical camera, if you're doing traditional cell animation, you're pointing it at a flat surface. You're not shooting three-dimensional objects in space. You're shooting cells of animation stacked on top of a background. Now, there is some 3D aspect in the sense that you layer clear cells of animation with characters painted onto them above a flat painted background. Now, of course, there is stop motion animation, which uses puppetry and clay models in a 3D space, but I'm not talking about that here. I mean traditional 2D animation, whether digitally produced or on paper or cells or whatever. So in traditional animation, you have to give the illusion of space if you want it to be there. Now, if you think about something like Scooby-Doo or Looney Tunes, it's very clear that the creators, for the most part, weren't thinking about three-dimensional space when they drew their cartoons. They have repetitive backgrounds. There's the joke that's repeated in The Simpsons and many other places of, you know, walking past the same door over and over in a hallway. If you think about something like Tom and Jerry, you can't picture a layout for the house that they're chasing each other around in. It's just abstract walls and doorways and, you know, maybe occasionally a living room or a kitchen with some drawers and pots and pans. But there's no sense that they're in a place, that there's a real 3D space around them. And what that means is that it's very easy for an animator to just draw a flat sort of abstract space and have the characters in that space move left and right across that space. Because if you picture laying out some cells of animation in front of you, well, the cells can't really get closer or further from the camera the way an actor can. An actor can walk towards the camera. Whereas with animation, if you want a character to get closer to the camera, you have to draw the character bigger and bigger and bigger with each frame, and the character has to include more and more detail, obviously, the closer they get to the camera, in an abstract sense, in order to keep looking sort of believably like a creature in a world. What that means is that you have to have a model, you have to have many, many models, I mean, for an animated character when they're far away from the camera, when they're at a middle distance from the camera, when they're right up to the camera. It's much easier to draw just one model of the character at a given distance from the camera and then have the character move laterally left and right through space in front of the camera. Then you just need to change the character's pose, which sounds like it might be more work, but drawing, you know, say, Tom from Tom and Jerry, you know, in three different running positions so that he looks like he's running, you know, you only have to do that, like, make three frames. If you want Tom to come towards the camera, you might need 20, 30 frames of him getting bigger and bigger and more detailed, including whatever motions he makes. And that's a lot of work. So in most animation, we see characters moving left and right, or we see characters, say, at a fixed distance from the camera and a hallway coming towards you, because it's very easy to draw, you know, the like four diagonal lines that make us perceive the depth of a hallway, that sort of thing, which we do see a couple times in My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea. We also see in that movie a lot of times when characters are going to move through a complex space, the camera will cut to an abstract representation of that space. So when the characters are going to like climb up an elevator shaft, we sort of, instead of like the camera panning up to look up the elevator shaft, which would require a lot of frames of animation, we cut to a sort of silhouette cutaway where we can just get the impression, oh, this is a large vertical shaft. Or another time when they're running all the way down a hallway through the school, instead of actually seeing all the classrooms and lockers and stuff that they run past, we kind of cut to a very abstract overhead view of the hallway, and then just a dotted white line kind of moves from the left side of the screen to the right side, and there are some vague outlines of classrooms to each side of it, giving us the impression that we're seeing these characters run down a hallway. And then once they're at the other end of the hallway, we cut back to actually seeing the characters themselves. Anime generally is much more concrete about locations and much more detailed in its art than something like My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea. But due to the fact that most anime is made on a pretty low budget, we still have a lot of static backgrounds of characters sort of moving left and right against them, and not a lot of camera movement, because animating backgrounds is incredibly fancy and expensive. Now, in Makoto Shinkai's latest movie, Your Name, one of the very first scenes is a character waking up in a room they haven't been in before. And the character sort of sits up in their bed, and the camera, implying that we're seeing from the character's perspective, actually rotates across the entire room. Now, if you stop to think about it, what we see on screen is very obviously 3D animation. The room was mocked up in some sort of 3D modeling program, and then hand-drawn details of the room's walls were painted on to the 3D model, and then a virtual camera was rotated through this room so that it looks like we're looking around a 2D hand-drawn room when we're really seeing a 3D room. But the effect works wonderfully. It's just that you need the resources to draw highly detailed enough elements to put on a 3D model, because if they're not extremely detailed, it's going to be very obvious that this is what's happening, because you're going to get all sorts of distortion at the edges of the camera because of the way perspective works, basically. Nova Seed avoids all these problems just by having literally everything we see on screen meticulously hand-drawn. Nick DiLiberto spent 4 years, like I've said, working on this movie essentially nonstop. I went to see this movie at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Film Festival, and the screening of the movie had a brief introduction by DiLiberto, where he explained how, after starting to work on this movie in earnest for a couple months, his fingers started to crack and bleed from where he was holding his pencil, and he had to make himself a special, he had to bandage his fingers and then made himself a special glove to prevent the pencil basically rubbing his skin away as he would draw frame after frame after frame. And he says in this little introduction that he knew he couldn't stop drawing the movie, because if he did, that was it. There was no more movie. So one of the consequences of the fact that this is entirely drawn by him is that he can actually put the detail into the background that he wants. He can have characters moving towards and away from the camera. He can have backgrounds panning left and right and zooming in and out, because he's drawing every single frame anyway. It doesn't really matter to him whether a character gets closer to the camera or not, because he's going to have to redraw the character. And because the characters are entirely coming out of his head, they're designed by him, all the choices about how they look are made by him, all the choices about what the background is like is made by him. Because he can keep all these things in his head at once, he doesn't need shortcuts like having a separate background and foreground. Now, it might be that he did draw separate backgrounds and then composited foreground characters onto them. In fact, when you see the movie, you can tell that the backgrounds are static, even though they're drawn in the exact same style as the foreground characters. But what that means is that at any time, he can just modify the background art, just like he's having every single frame to draw new foreground art. And the way he chooses to use this freedom, as it were, this limitation and freedom at the same time, is to have a dynamic camera. The camera in his shots actually moves in a similar way that you might expect a camera in a live-action movie to move on, say, a Steadicam. He can have action scenes where characters dive in and out of, you know, out of holes and behind pillars and stuff, and the camera can, say, rotate around the pillar to reveal the character. It can fly through space. It can, you know, dodge in and out of the action, because DiLiberto is drawing every single frame, so he can just decide, well, my character is going to dive over here, and the camera will dip down, and we'll see that he's hiding under this table, and that sort of thing. It's a huge amount of work, but he's putting this amount of work in anyway to hand draw every single frame of animation. So he has this ability to do things that a more traditional animation process doesn't, because traditional animation relies on this cost-cutting method of having separate backgrounds and foregrounds, having very static backgrounds, characters only moving left to right to save on a lot of effort in terms of designing the details of the characters. DiLiberto got his start in an animation program at Sheridan College in London, where he felt going into the program that he had far less drawing experience than any of his classmates, he said himself that they had all been drawing, you know, Disney quality characters, where he was more of a Saturday morning cartoon guy, just drawing, you know, big guys with guns. But his much rougher, looser, unpolished style sort of paid off, because it meant that he could do this extremely dynamic style of animation that was much less rigid and formal than other people presumably thought, you know, animation needed to be. And it can be seen in his early student films like Medusa, which I'll put a link to on the page, that he's experimenting with dynamic camera, dynamic movement, characters kind of going off model and deforming and stretching to make the action look more dynamic. And this comes through in Nova Seed as well, where the characters are extremely expressive. They have very exaggerated movements and emotional expressions. They interact with the objects around them in very dynamic ways. One of the characters has like wires coming out of his head, and these wires are always jiggling around and being pulled in different directions as he moves around a space. And the space in this movie, likewise, is very real in a sense. Because Diliberto can afford to have his camera move, can afford to have parts of the background rotate and come in and out of view and have the characters move through those spaces, he's able to have the characters actually interact with the backgrounds in meaningful ways that aren't quite as possible in more traditional animation. All of this results in a much more dynamic world presented to the audience. Everything looks like it could be interacted with at any moment. Everything looks like it is really embedded in a real world, even though in the case of Nova Seed, the world we're seeing is extremely fantastical. Nick Diliberto seems much more interested in the mechanics of 2D animation than Dash Shaw and Makoto Shinkai are. Shaw and Shinkai both seem to be using 2D animation to tell a sort of story, and at the same time to experiment with how 2D animation can be created by a single person to tell such a story. Whereas Nick Diliberto seems much more in love with the process of 2D animation itself. He says in an interview that you can't spend 4 years full-time drawing thousands and thousands of animation cells unless you really love every step of the process. You have to like the drawing, you have to like the cleanup, you have to like the animation, the compositing, the coloring. Everything has to be enjoyable for you. And you really get the sense from seeing Diliberto's animation that he really does love 2D animation for its own sake. Whereas for Shaw and for Makoto Shinkai, the 2D animation seems to be a little more of a means to an end. They're not so much fascinated by 2D animation as they are by movie making, if you will, where for them, the most natural way to express their ideas happens to be in 2D animation. But Nick Diliberto is coming from the other direction. You can almost imagine that for him, the story is sort of a means to the end of creating an animated work. He's putting so much time and effort into the process of animation that that's really what you're watching when you watch his movie. The story almost doesn't matter. The story of Nova Seed, while I found it quite entertaining, is kind of loose and clearly secondary to the images he's putting on screen, which contrasts with almost all traditional 2D animation, which is meant to be a cheaper or easier way of showing a fantastical story and putting, how to put it, of putting fantastical objects on screen, whether they're characters or settings or spaceships or monsters or whatever. But it's less about the animation itself. With Nova Seed and Diliberto's other works, you clearly get the sense that what he's trying to show you is the potential of 2D hand-drawn animation, of what can be done when one person sits down and says, I'm going to do every part of this movie. Every single thing you see on screen is going to be my work. Well, I hope some of my thoughts inspire you to go see these movies if you get a chance. I have no idea if Nova Seed will ever be released on video or some stuff like that in the United States or wherever you happen to be listening to this. Hopefully it will, because it's a movie that definitely deserves to be seen by a lot of people. It's absolutely beautiful. The same can effectively be said for My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea, which is a fascinating way of using animation. The story is a little maudlin. I mean, it's very much a teen high school movie. Jason Schwartzman voices the main character, so the movie kind of feels like a mix of a Wes Anderson comedy and a Peanuts cartoon. Whereas Nova Seed has much more of a flavor of Mad Max with the visual sensibilities of French comic books, highly detailed art and very strange and fantastical monster designs and vehicle designs, stuff like that. If you get a chance to see either of these movies, they're both visual treats and a lot of fun to watch. And hopefully they'll both get wider releases. My Entire High School Sinking into the Sea I saw in theater, in local art theater, which I was literally the only person in the audience for that showing, which was a Friday afternoon showing, which was kind of sad because it's a really cool movie. But maybe it'll get some more play, maybe some more people pick up on it. It does seem like the kind of movie that could generate a cult following in the long run, and I hope it does. And likewise, I hope Nova Seed gets picked up somewhere by someone and gets out to some theaters, because it's really a spectacular movie visually. It's a treat to watch, and it's really funny and really entertaining to boot. So a lot of kids could get a lot of, you know, could have a lot of fun watching this movie, and there's more than enough nods to more mature sort of sensibilities. It's obvious that it was produced and written by one person, so, you know, some of the scenes fall a little flat. The editing is a little rough at times, because this is effectively DiLiberto's third major project after two animated shorts, including Medusa, which I mentioned. But his style can easily be polished into something that would really be special and could produce really incredible work. It would be kind of sad if it took another 4 or 5 years for him to produce another movie, but that seems to be the way he wants to create his art. I feel like his style might lose out quite a bit if someone other than him is drawing his characters and his animation. But of course, I'd rather see someone with his talent getting work out there, even if it has to be a little compromised stylistically, because I think his real love and dedication to 2D animation could really go a long way to reviving that style of animation in a world of Disney, Pixar, you know, 3D mega blockbusters. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoyed some of my thoughts on animation. I hope as I get more used to sitting alone in my room talking into a microphone, I'll be able to produce these episodes a little bit faster. And maybe in sometime in the near future, I'll even do a couple episodes where it's not just me talking. There's a lot of my friends have very valuable, in my opinion, thoughts about movies. So hopefully I can convince some of them to come and talk to me about movies they seem to care about that might lead to some really good content for the wide world out there. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.